This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM. At your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll free at 1-800-447-4463. If you're listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
And welcome to Party Line. Our sponsors are Jennifer Ping Shelter Insurance, Warrior Shield, Warrior Shelter, Kramer Lumber Do It Center, Welty Custom Exteriors, Welty Works for You, and Compass Credit Union, community minded just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Hear Well, Live Well, Johnny V's Main Street Grill, Ivy Tech Community College, We're Changing Lives, Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. I am Ken. I'm filling in for Kevin, who's getting ready to go out to the 4-H building at the Clinton County Fairgrounds for our second annual Point of Lights volunteer fair. It's going on from 4 to 7 p.m. today, so he's out helping set up for that, and that's where he's at today. So I'm going to fill in for the show today. So we'll just do this first half hour. We'll be an open line, 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. Bring up a topic you'd like, and we'll talk it around here for a little while. Then at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by the Healthy Communities of Clinton County Coalition. I would assume that would probably be Laura Archibald will be joining us around 9 o'clock this morning. As we already said, we're going to be having our second annual Points of Light volunteer fair. As we said, it'll be 4 to 7 p.m. at the 4-H building out at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. You can explore ways to help in the community. This is non-service organizations are going to be there. I think there's 27 of them, I believe, right now. To talk to you about their mission and their needs, this event is open to the public, including teens and adults, and all are invited. There's going to be free food and door prizes. This is brought to you by Casper Media, and our corporate sponsors, Encompass Credit Union, along with Center Township of Clinton County. So once again, that's the Casper Media Points of Light Volunteer Fair, 4 to 7 p.m. this afternoon out at the 4-H building at the Clinton County Fairgrounds, and we will be broadcasting live from there during that time period this afternoon. Other couple other things locally we need to talk about. The third panel discussion created by Center Township and United Way for Clinton County is going to be held Wednesday night at 6 p.m. It's going to take place at the Frankfort High School cafeteria. Therapists from Wabash Valley Alliance and Howard Community Counseling Center will be the panelists, as well as doctors from IU Health and St. Elizabeth Hospital. They're going to be talking about the opioid situation and the intervention services that are available, as well as the effects of the opioids. Healthy Communities of Clinton County is going to share with their work on regards to the opioid problem with QSource. The goal of these conversations is to build community collaboration related to prevention, deterrence, and education on regards of heroines and opioids, as well as other drug substances prevalent in our community. That's 6 o'clock on Wednesday night at the Frankfort High School cafeteria. Also, Farmers Bank has teamed up with the City of Frankfort and the Federal Home Loan Bank of Indianapolis to offer the Senior Homeowner Assistance Repairs, that SHARP program. They are accepting applications for grants up to $15,000 for repairs or replacements to homes owned by low to moderate income seniors. This is, as we said, is a cooperative agreement between the City of Frankfort, the Farmers Bank, and the Federal Home Loan Bank of Indianapolis. The purpose of SHARP is to help qualifying senior citizen homeowners address higher cost maintenance items such as roofs, windows, heating, and air conditioning systems. Also, grants may be used to make accessibility modifications such as handicapped showers and access ramps. People who qualify are those who are low to moderate income residents of the City of Frankfort who are age 62 or older and have owned their home for at least 18 months. If you think you might qualify, you're urged to contact the mayor's office. That is 654-7332 to see if you are eligible. And also, if you're interested in early voting or absentee voting, you can do that now at the Clinton County Courthouse through Friday, May the 4th. Courthouse is open 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Monday through Fridays, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., as we said. Then also, it's going to be open from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, April the 28th, and Saturday, May the 5th. Then also, it's going to be open from 8 a.m. to noon on Monday, May the 7th. Also on Friday, May the 4th, you can vote from noon to 7 p.m. at the following places: the Paul Philippi Resource Center at Bergen Hall, the Community Schools of Frankfort Education and Administration Center, Rossville Ambulance Service, Kirkland Town Hall, Michigan Town Christian Church, and all the Mulberry Health and Retirement Center. And all of those places are going to be also the sites for the – it will be vote centers on Election Day, which will be May the 8th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And also join that group will be the Colfax Christian Church and Wesley Manor. So if you want to go vote early, you can do that. Also, if you want to just wait until Election Day, you've got that option. We will have complete Election Day results for you on election night here on AM 1570 and 96.9 FM at WILO. Let's take a look at the forecast, which right now, if you look outside and we're doing the show, it's sunny right now, but not going to stay that way very long. It might be okay today, but it's going to be a very cool day today. High of only 45. Winds are going to be up to 25 miles an hour with gusts today. Down to 32 tonight. Chance of rain tomorrow, it's about a 40% chance, a high of 58. However, winds will be 15 to 20, gusts as high as 35 tomorrow night. We get back to the good stuff. Mostly cloudy, chance of rain, possibly mixed with some snow after midnight. It won't stick around very long, but it's still that chance. Low of 35. Winds will still be up 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusts as high as 35. Thursday, cooler, becoming mostly cloudy with a high of 48. Winds could gust as high as 30 miles an hour. It's going to stay kind of cool on Thursday night and Friday, be just in the mid-50s, but will be sunny skies. Saturday, going to start getting a little warmer, up in the upper 50s on Saturday. Then Sunday be high of 60, and then Monday looks really nice right now. Naturally, the first day of the work week, it always looks good that day. Mostly sunny skies with a high of 65 coming up on Monday. So something to look forward to, you know, if you can get past the stuff we've been having. You know, it's nothing like having, you know, April winter. It's so much fun to have winter in April. I can't tell you how much fun it's been to be out and about in this kind of weather. Fortunately, it hasn't been that bad so far. Numbers to call if you want to have a conversation are 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463. Those are the numbers. This day in history, we do have several little items here for you today. 1790, legendary American statesman Benjamin Franklin died at the age of 84. 1860, it became law in New York City that tenement houses had to be equipped with fire escapes. 1969, Sirhan was convicted of assassinating Senator Robert F. Kennedy. He was originally scheduled to death, but the sentence was reduced to life in prison after California abolished the death penalty. 1970, the damaged Apollo 13 module splashed down in the Pacific Ocean. 1996, businessman Don Clayton died at the age of 69. He opened the first putt-putt miniature golf course and is considered the father of putt-putt golfing games. That was Don Clayton, who died in 1996. 1998, singer, photographer Linda McCartney, the former wife of Beatle Paul McCartney, died after a bout of cancer. She was 56. 2001, Mississippi residents voted to keep the Confederate emblem on their state flag. 2006, I do remember this well, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan was found guilty of all charges in his federal corruption case in Chicago. A one-time Nobel Prize nominee, Ryan received international attention in 2003 when he commuted the death row sentences of 167 Illinois prisoners. I do remember that well, and it was not a fun time to be in Illinois at that time. 2008, an unscheduled meeting during his five-day visit to the U.S., Pope Benedict met with a group of people who said they were sexually abused by priests. The group prayed with the pontiff, and then he listened to their personal accounts of what they went through. In 2013, an explosion at a fertilizer plant north of Waco, Texas, resulted in 15 deaths and numerous injuries. And in 2016, everybody loves Raymond actress Doris Roberts, sweet little sweetheart that she was, died at the age of 90. Roberts was nominated for 11 Emmys in her career with 4 wins for playing Raymond's mother, Marie Barome, with 1 win for a guest role on St. Elsewhere. That was Doris Roberts, who died in 2016. Take a look at some of the national news from yesterday. And let's go this route. Let me just shift gears here for a second. I really wasn't going to do this first, but I thought, why not? Former FBI Director James Comey's new book hits the shelves today. A Higher Loyalty has already made a big splash when several media outlets got advanced copies of it last week. Since then, President Trump has repeatedly gone after Comey on Twitter for some of the things that he writes in the book. He doesn't mince words, describing Trump's presidency as a, quote, forest fire, unquote, and comparing him to a mob boss. I'm not going to say anything because I kind of agree with him. I'm not going to go any further than that. The first stop on Comey's book tour today is New York City. The former FBI director, fired by Donald Trump last May, will be at the Union Square Barnes & Noble tomorrow, not today, for the day after A Higher Loyalty is released. In the book, Comey compares, as we said, Trump to a mob boss who calls him an unethical man with no regard for the truth. The president has responded to a series of tweets calling Comey a leaker, a liar, and an untruthful slime ball. Gee, I wouldn't think he'd call him anything else but that. I would be shocked if he didn't do that. And also, we've got a caller now, so let's go ahead and get to it. Caller, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. What's up?
On that, Trump calling somebody a slime ball is really, really a joke. But anyway.
Yeah.
You said, would Governor Ryan, was that who committed those death sentences?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember why?
Oh, I can't exactly remember why, but I know he was, you know, Illinois, of course, has had a notorious history for slimeball governors. I'm going to use one of Trump's famous terms there.
Okay.
Because they've had Blagojevich, they've had Ryan, they've had, you know, anybody else you want to think about, they've had several of them.
Well, there's a college or university that has a law, and some of the students were reviewing a case of a gentleman that was on death row, and then they started questioning some of the evidence, and come to find out the prosecutor and the police falsified some evidence to convict him.
That doesn't surprise me. After all, you know, you had in Illinois. First of all, people have actually think that Illinois is a state. It's not. You have the state of Chicago, and then you have the rest of Illinois.
Yeah. And these were the prosecutors from up around Chicago, and come to find out they had four of the guys on death row had been convicted. They were guilty of other crimes, but they were convicted. They went ahead and convicted them on it and had them on the death row. And the one prosecutor, when he had been tried, made the remark, he didn't do that, but with his reputation, he had probably done other murder, so therefore. And so they just computed all, said that, turn him off, not turn him free, they just made him to life sentence.
Yeah, commuted him, basically. So,
yeah. But that makes you kind of wonder. If prosecutors and the police work together and convict people of crimes they didn't do.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Larry, the thing is, it's been thought for years that has happened because, you know, a lot of these things were happened before DNA evidence actually became a big thing.
Right.
A lot of people were convicted, you know, falsely of certain crimes they were alleged to have committed because DNA evidence simply didn't exist back even not all that long ago.
You know, it's just like that one black guy here in the state of Indiana that was exonerated, and then the governor wouldn't release him. That makes you kind of wonder, don't it?
Well, you know, when you start entering politics into law, you know, somehow these things just don't mesh quite right.
No,
I don't know. You know, you can say they're supposed to. Yeah, they're supposed to, but let's just be honest, they don't.
Yeah, it's just like. My favorite saying is, judges should be apolitical.
I agree with you.
And but when they get selected for, like, the Supreme Court, if you got a liberal president, then he selects liberal judges. That's political.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't like it.
Well, you know, everybody says it's got to be it has to be balanced towards the person who's in power, which I don't agree with at all.
Especially since how the judges are appointed for life.
You know, and the thing of it is, if you look at the overweight, you know, we had this discussion with Scalia when Scalia died and everything else. The thing of it is, an overwhelming majority of the current judges we have on the Supreme Court are in their 80s and above.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, they need to be replaced. I remember Vern saying, well, you know, it means they've got, you know, they got wisdom and all that. And I said, not necessarily, but that's, you know, I'm not going to take it any further than that. But, you know, that's just one of the things that, you know, they're going to have a serious look at, you know, maybe putting some age limits on Supreme Court justices.
I don't disagree with you a bit, because sometimes when you get up that age, they don't have the wisdom that they're supposed to have, because they're so set in their ways.
Right.
They can't think outside the box.
And senility, some, I hate to use that word, but sometimes that sets in.
You got that right. Well, I just wanted to call about Governor, I think Governor Ryan, because I used to listen to WGN a lot after I listened to Party Line. And I can remember that being, that was a, quite an issue for several weeks.
Oh, I know it was. And people also forget that Ryan, before he became governor, was also the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Which really made him fun to be around.
Well, as a reporter, you guys had stuff to talk about.
Oh gosh, did we ever? And you know, just but I'm just saying, he was a winner, all right.
But the worst slime ball you guys had is Blagojevich or Vukovic.
Blagojevich, yeah.
Yeah,
and I see where his he had another appeal turned down the other day too. I saw that, so he's going to stay in prison for a while. And
he ought to.
Yeah, I mean that guy needs to serve as many years as they can find, and actually, I wouldn't object. They added a few more to it.
You know what? I don't understand what judges do is they say like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means a guy can get out in 5.
Right.
But 2.5 of real good behavior.
Mm-hmm. And I've always had a problem with describing what real good behavior is.
Yeah. But why don't they go with 10 years and a day?
Okay.
Then they got to serve the whole complete term.
Yeah, right. That's true. But you know, the problem is there's so, you know, this is one of the things that bothers me about the judicial system today. There are so many loopholes that you can get around and not have to serve full sentences. You may not even be convicted. There's just so many things. And also, and as we're finding around here in the state of Indiana now, they're trying to reduce sentences so not as many people are in prison, which I think is absolutely wrong because, you know, we've used many, many cases, and you can cite, you know, drug cases, or you can cite the situation where, you know, the gal who was involved in an automobile accident that killed the lady. She only got 3 years. The most she could have gotten was 6. I mean, that's where this law in this state is very, very flawed and needs to be fixed.
What did they get her for? I don't remember.
Let's see. They got her for driving while under the influence, causing death, I believe. I think that was the one they got her for. But they had 9 or 10 other ones they could have. But the most, even if she'd have been convicted of all of those, the most she could have had was 6 years.
And okay, yeah, I totally I'd get upset. And I remember a kid passed a car on a double yellow line on 26.
Mm-hmm.
And hit another car head on and killed the people in that car.
Right.
And they kept saying it was an accident. You pass on double yellow line, that's not an accident.
Now, you better be extremely, you know, that's the bad thing about trying to pass on these country, on these two-lane country roads, especially when the state, you know as well as I do, you know, with all the curves that are in these roads, but also the hills that you got to navigate.
Yep. Well, anyway, I'll let you go.
All right.
But I wanted to talk about Vukovic. I'm getting to the point where I get so upset about Trump, I just don't even want to talk about him sometimes.
Well, you know, pretty well. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to set up a meeting between you and Donald and see how well you like each other.
We wouldn't, because I would ask him questions about his past business dealings.
All you have to do is ask him about his personal life, and you would probably get knocked on your...
Oh, I got one to tell you about that. I heard an evangelical preacher on the radio, on the news, on NPR, and he was asking about Trump's immorality.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I can live with it as long as he's against abortion. And I thought, you sick dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's there's no comparison to those two. I'm sorry, they're just not.
No.
Not at all.
But Billy Graham's son said that, sort of implied the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That long as Trump was pro-life, the rest of that was sort of Immaterial.
But you know what is amazing? It doesn't really matter, as we've said many times, which party's in power. You know, this year, you know, the Republicans can say, oh, we believe everything that our president said because we're Republicans in the office. You know, and then turn right around in the past and say the exact opposite. When if Obama or whoever would have been in office, but the Democratic Party would have said the same thing. Oh, that's totally immoral, totally wrong. We can't accept that.
Yep.
So you can't have it both ways with what they're trying.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of politicians try to have it both ways.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're all kind of getting a little sick and tired of that.
I am totally sick and tired of that.
Yeah. Are we more sick and tired of that, or are we more sick and tired of gerrymandering?
That's what I was getting ready to say.
I figured you probably were. we talk to each other so much, we kind of know what each other's thinking by now.
Yeah, because surprisingly, since how you're a conservative and I'm a liberal, we agree on a lot of things.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I've always been I'm a firm believer in common sense, and also I deal in a very realistic world, and that's, you know, and to me, you know, either you do or you don't. I mean, there's no ways around it. I don't believe in all this extracurricular stuff that people seem to think that you have to believe in order to get something accomplished. It's either you do it or you don't do it.
I agree. And gerrymandering, Pennsylvania passed a law where they had to do away with gerrymandering, and the conservatives fought it and lost in court.
All right.
Now, I don't know if we're going to try to take it to the Supreme Court or not.
Well, you know, it just seems like that's a thing that's going to be a continual change type of thing, because I think whoever's in charge at the time, they just want to have, you know, whatever suits their will at the time is what they're going to try and do. And then we're going to cite this little law here. It says, you know, blah, 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 blah. And this will be able to go ahead and change the law the way we want it, so we can have it our way for ever how many years they want to keep it that way.
Well, we'll let you go and have somebody else call in. We'll
All right.
talk to you later.
Bye. All right. Take care, Larry. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Numbers to call are 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463. Those are the numbers. We got about a couple more minutes before we need to take a break. Jenna Bush Hager is promising that her grandmother, former First Lady Barbara Bush, is being surrounded by love. Hager on Monday on NBC's Today said she's grateful for her grandmother, who is in great spirits. Hager choked back the tears a bit, saying her grandmother, former President George H.W. Bush, is by his wife's side and makes sure to tell everybody that he loves her every night. The Bush family recently announced that Barbara's health is failing and she will not seek additional medical treatment. This is another kind of a troubling thing that's kind of happened. If you consider everything that's been going on in about four or five states throughout the country, teachers in Arizona began voting today on whether to strike for more money in salaries and school funding. A grassroots group is conducting the vote that runs through Thursday. Arizona's Governor Doug Ducey last week proposed raising teachers' pay by 20% over the next 2 years. Critics say the plan doesn't show where the money would come from. There's no date for a strike, but if teachers vote to join those in West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Kentucky in walking out of classes. I mean, that's been a huge problem in several things. Now, that's four states now. There could be others before it's all said and done. President Trump is touting his administration's tax cuts in a tax day op-ed in the column in today's edition of USA Today. Trump writes that paychecks are climbing, though they're not climbing as much as he likes to think. Tax rates are going down and businesses are investing. Trump also writes that this is the last year Americans will fill out what he calls outdated, complicated tax forms. According to the president, starting next year, many Americans will file their income taxes, the income tax returns on a simple single sheet of paper. The deadline for filing this year's tax return is midnight tonight. This was kind of fun. President Trump's personal lawyer is being dealt a setback in a New York City courtroom. In federal court yesterday, a judge refused to grant a temporary restraining order from Michael Cohen, and he is seeking to limit access to materials the FBI seized and raids from his office, home, and motel room. Last week, Cohen claims that they fall under the attorney-client privilege. As a result of the decision, it was revealed that Fox News host Sean Hannity is apparently a client of Cohen's. Hannity says he doesn't know why the revelation that he was a client of President Trump's personal attorney is such a big deal. He added that he has never paid Cohen, and their conversations have never involved a third party. Well, that would give Cohen two clients, and if Hannity is one of them, because Trump's the other one. And I think this is the last one we'll do before the break. Chemical weapon inspectors won't be allowed into the Damascus suburb where Syrian forces are accused of dropping chemical-laced bombs on civilians until Wednesday. What a surprise here. Independent inspection teams have been in Syria since Saturday. Syrian and Russian officials haven't let them into the Douma area because of what Syria and its most powerful supporter call security issues that need to be worked out. Activists in Douma say the attack on April the 7th killed more than 40 people, including women and children, and injured hundreds. Syria and Russia deny responsibility for the attack. Russia says it was staged. The U.S., France, and Britain attacked Syrian chemical weapons facilities with more than 100 missiles over the weekend in response to the chemical attack. We're going to go ahead and take a break right now. If I can go over here and just reach around and get my list of sponsors. Our sponsors are Jennifer Ping, Shelter Insurance, Kramer Lumber, Do It Center, Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Johnny V's Main Street Grill, Ivy Tech Community College, Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. And we'll be right back.